So you remember Shelley Daugherty? She's the woman who has an air monitor attached to the outside of her house. There's a stream behind the house. You can hear it as we talk.
Because this is a natural spring that runs out of the top. And this goes right into the river.
Daugherty spent most of her life in Pittsburgh, so she's used to industrial pollution. She moved here on the edge of the suburb of Jefferson Hills near Clairton because she wanted fresher air.
I came out here because I wanted, like they say, a breath of fresh air, and it's not at all. I used to work at a tax clinic in Turtle Creek, so I would come down 837 at night. And I started to notice when the cloud deck was low or it was rainy, you could see. It just, the air just sits there, and sometimes it smells like a litter box. And I came down here in the fall, and it gets much, much worse the hotter and the stickier in the more humid in, days is when it gets really, really bad.
How close are we to the plant right now?
A little under 2 miles. But I mean, if you look here, you can see the train tracks, okay? So the trains run up there and down there, and they run all the way along 837. So you have that, and then the gas line, and that fault that goes straight to Clairton Works. It affects way, way more communities than just Clairton. I'm really curious to see these results.
So that's why Shelley Daugherty agreed to let researchers from Carnegie Mellon University attach this sensor to her front porch to figure out which pollutants are really in the air around her home. The Allegheny Front's Carol Holsoppel also visited Clairton and Daugherty's house to find out more about this air quality research project.
Hey, Kara?
Kara, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Subbu.
I meet R. Subramanian, Subbu for short, in the driveway of Shelley Daugherty's home.
Hi.
This is Srini, I'm my research assistant.
Hi.
Hi.
Subbu is a researcher at Carnegie Mellon University in the Center for Atmospheric Particle Studies. And he and Srini Kumar are here to check on the sensor, which is strapped to the front porch rail on Daugherty's house. It's not working. It's stopped reporting data.
All right. Did you bring a ladder? No? We have one if you want to use that. Okay.
The sensor is placed just above our heads. It's a metal box called the RAMP, Real-Time Affordable Multi-Pollutant Sensor. It's powered by a laptop-style charger, and it looks like the charger cable just came loose.
Stupid stuff happens.
The RAMP picks up 5 gases in the air through holes on its bottom: carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide, and ozone. They're recorded 4 times a minute, and the data is averaged every 15 minutes. On the other side of the device is something that looks a little like a telescope that's pointed up to the sky. It's called a nephelometer, and it detects PM2.5, airborne particulate matter.
Particulate matter, whatever is here, is all total suspended particulates. PM10 is particulate matter smaller than 10 microns, and that's the stuff that goes into your nose. But anything larger than PM2.5, tends to remain in your respiratory tract. And so you get all of your, throat infections and asthma or other things like that. And then anything smaller than PM2.5 microns can actually make it all the way to your lungs, and that is more likely to cause cardiac disease or lung cancer.
This sensor is one of about 30 that have been deployed in the Pittsburgh area since last August. This summer, they'll place another 20 in the Mon Valley, in Clairton and Braddock.
It's good to go? It's working?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay, and what's the battery voltage?
380, so it's...
Okay, great, excellent.
The data collected from this and other monitors are for multiple projects, one of which is the EPA's Air Pollution Monitoring for Communities program. Subbu's group was one of only 6 projects around the country to be funded. We talk some more about it at his office on CMU's campus.
So after you deploy all the sensors...
Yeah, the next step is actually recruiting volunteers to come and participate in surveys. So the goal is to try and do pre- and post-surveys. First, figure out how they interact with air quality monitors, how they actually use air quality information, and then tell them that we have these sensors deployed near your house, or this is the app that you use to actually get the air quality information. Use it for a period of 2 to 4 weeks, and then after that, see if that made them more informed about air quality around their neighborhood, whether whether there are lifestyle changes that can happen that they make.
And you're going to be displaying the data that you have in some way. What are some of the ideas that you have about how you're going to do that?
The most common way of displaying this data is you know that EPA has air quality index information that is a 24-hour average prediction for every day. And so you go to the EPA website and you can get the air quality index for your area, but that's very, very broad, like I think average for Allegheny County, for instance. It's not specific to your neighborhood.
Is that like if it's a red day or a green day?
Yep. Yeah, precisely, yes. Green day, you know, yellow day, orange day, maroon, red day, maroon day. That's a scale of colors.
Green day is a good day. It's okay, safe to be outside. You can imagine that a red day is the worst.
Right, exactly. And I think the air quality index goes from 0 to 500. The higher you go up to 500, that's, I believe, the maroon, and that's really hazardous for everybody. A yellow would be hazardous for some groups that are susceptible, like asthma patients or the elderly people. And so that's a range of colors that people use. Now, the question that we are trying to answer is, do those colors make sense? Or would people like numbers or more specific information about specific pollutants? Would they, again, without actually giving out too much information, because some of this will be seen as leading survey responses. But that's sort of the idea, is that what are the ways that people use this information, whether they actually go to, can they actually go to the website, or would they need like push notifications to the phone, you know, different ways in which they would want to interact with information, because at the end of the day, it's about empowering people with more information, empowering them to make choices that would lower their exposure to air pollution, for instance.
You're deploying most of these in Clairton, in the Mon Valley and Braddock, and the EPA program is mainly focused on environmental justice communities. So can you say why Clairton fits into that category of environmental justice communities?
So there is a specific definition for environmental justice communities, in particular for Clairton and Braddock. There are two large point sources nearby. One is the Clairton coke ovens. The other is the Edgar Thomson steel mills. And of course, there are lots of other industrial facilities as well. The idea is to focus on these communities, as they have been defined as places with point sources that are noticeable, plus areas that have a larger fraction of people below the poverty line. In these communities, housing is cheaper than in other areas. People who are lower income may actually prefer to live there, but they end up being exposed to potentially higher pollution from certain sources. They end up bearing the environmental cost of these economic activities disproportionately.
Why is there a need for this kind of project?
There has been a lot of interest in citizen science lately. And especially in Pittsburgh and in Allegheny County, I think there's greater environmental awareness of pollution. And it's a question of trying to give people the most robust information possible. What are the ways to interpret data? You know, if people get this information in a way that they can interpret and understand, and, you know, we as scientists can help them do that, then I think that's a useful application of our research, especially considering that it's air quality and that is something that we live and breathe every day. And so having a scientifically literate population, in the sense that obviously people are obviously smart and, you know, they can understand if there's a smell in the air, it's bad. But using data that they can rely on and understand and use to figure out, to make better decisions, I think that's really important. And so this project essentially just formalizes a way of doing that. This is a way for people to realize that, you know, science is something that is useful and actually makes a difference in their lives.
Subramanian hopes the data they're collecting will be available to residents in the Mon Valley sometime later this summer, so they can start using it to make decisions, like if it's safe enough for kids to play outdoors. His team at Carnegie Mellon is also working with community leaders and environmental groups to put together a community advisory board to guide the project and get more people to open up their porches and front yards to the sensors. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Carol Holsapple.